We are shows what you know. We'll always watch TV. And if you think we can't, we'll watch more and you'll see. That's why the people of the web believe in Jim from Las Vegas and Jacob from Sweden.
Welcome to Shows What You Know, your television podcast. I am a bit sad, though. I dream of a parallel world where we had a disco intro because we're here to talk about Star Trek Disco. We're your two favorite disco heads, and just imagine our heads, if you're on the podcast, are like disco balls, essentially. We've got it all decked out, lights all over the place, lasers. Wow, the analogy is so apt. I'm joined by a good buddy of mine, and my name is Jacob Burrows.
My name is Jim Scampoli, and I've got disco fever. That's right, Trekkies. We're going to not let that one go. We're here to discuss Star Trek Discovery, the back half of season one. I guess not half, the back...
Five episodes. Can you believe it's five episodes? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we cover quite a bit of ground here. One, two, well, it's like, what, six technically?
Oh, right.
Cause count ten.
I can't count. But either way, maths aside, we're here to talk about Star Trek Disco, and there will be spoilers for the whole first season. So go watch the first season of Star Trek Discovery before listening to this. You can also follow our coverage of first the pilot episode and then the episodes up to until nine. And Star Trek Discovery won me over really hard in these final five episodes. I mean, I liked it before then. I know you were a disco head for a while, right? Where are you at now, having watched the final episodes?
Well, yeah, no, my backstory is I only know Trek through the movies. I never watched any TV Trek. I've never watched they don't have as cool nicknames as Disco, but you know, when they say like TNG or TOS,
that's the Next Generation. Yeah.
What's TOS?
The original series.
Thought I was going to get you on that one. Yeah. Or Voyager, which Voyager.
That was Star Trek Voyager. I watched some of Star Trek Voyager when it was on TV, and also another one, one of the ones that wasn't good that came out
is
in like
DS9 one.
What?
Or is that a different show?
What did you say? Battlestar Galactica? What did you say?
I said DS9.
Oh, I don't know what that is. But I also watched some of the Next Space Generation.
Nine, baby. Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
I know there was one I watched that wasn't that good. Voyager was also one I watched. I guess that wasn't probably the best one in retrospect, but I really enjoyed it as a young lad. But yeah, I can't come into it with a bit more Trek background because I also saw the movies as well and that stuff.
Well, basically, I'm apologizing to all the like true Star Trek Trekkies, the Star Trek fans out there, because I know a lot of people were pretty lukewarm at the beginning of this show, and I guess it's because they're trying to get people like me into Star Trek. So it's my fault. I take it. I mean, I was down. I was down with it, even in the like 2-hour pilot that everyone kind of hates, I guess, but I really liked it. And I was kind of in it through the first nine, and I was even more down for these last six.
It's almost got like a guilty pleasure vibe. Like they go traveling to an alternate universe, and you kind of get all these tropes that are so the tropes. Like it's like Doctor Who almost, of like beaming to another world and anything is possible. And like, shit, we're gonna do whatever. But it's so satisfying as well to watch, especially having like laid the groundwork through those nine episodes of who these characters are, and then throwing them into something completely different. And stuff we discussed previously panned out, but it was kind of fine, mostly. Like, there was some stuff that we were a bit worried about, specifically Vok. And his nonsense. I mean, I'm still no Ash Tyler fan, don't get me wrong. I still think they should put him on a shuttle and send him into the sun. That's still my point of view. But I think the way it all played out worked really well, and just the excitement of getting to another universe. And even though it's like so the thing to have like an evil universe is basically like, yes, everyone's evil, and like the Vulcan guy even has the goatee, like, which is originally from Star Trek, which is why they can't like be blamed for going like to the tropiest thing, because they did that so many years ago. They have the right and the balls to do it, but they do it with something that looks so great, and the structure of the episodes is so great. And when we'd watched like four of these, and they have the climax, what would be the climax of any other season, then it's like, oh no, we got two more for you. I'm like, how do you have two more episodes? So I'm really on board with Star Trek Discovery at this point.
Agreed. And I think that's kind of one of the biggest keys to what they were doing and why it becomes, why it ends up being a success, is that, yeah, these are normal things that would just be the main storyline, but they have like three main storylines going on at once. And that way you can hit like some dramatic climaxes, but then have another one like ready to go. Now, if I'm being honest, I wouldn't have guessed the Vok and Tyler thing. I mean, I started hearing the theories online, and then it started to make sense what they were saying. And when you first hear that on paper or whatever, it sounds really stupid, but it works because it's kind of coming to a head while they're in this other universe.
Yeah.
It's not the focus. It's not the main thing that's happening, but it's kind of this like, oh my God, we're trying to figure out all this stuff here in the mirror universe, but also I have to deal with this.
Yeah.
And it works, and it's played more for character drama with Michael Burnham. So I think you take something that kind of on paper is kind of dumb, but they make it work really well. And that's why everything feels like heightened in a great way and exciting. And that's what keeps the momentum of the show going.
I think that's a good point about like the character stuff being central on that, because it felt like, I mean, I still think Choose Your Pain is a really bad episode. The one where we are introduced to Ash Tyler, there's stuff that doesn't make sense there. And that's what made me like Google the episode. And then people were like, well, obviously Ash Tyler is going to be Vok because of it's the same fucking actor and shit. So I was like, oh, okay, well, that's stupid. And what I imagine at that point is there's going to be an episode where like, who is doing the evil stuff in Discovery? And there kind of is, but it's not like the main thing of like, ha, I pulled the lever, I stab you in the back all along. It's actually got a few more layers to it of him actually being a human that's got the Klingon inside of him. And then also, as you said, it's in another universe. It's not the problem. Like, if there was a whole episode of like, who could it be? Like, that's not what they do. They let us, the viewers, know that, like, yes, we know that you know that he is Vok. Because at the end of episode 9, he kind of goes and like, what have you done to me? To the lady Klingon. And it pans out in a pretty okay way. I mean, he kills Hugh, which is a great shock moment.
I was so bummed when he killed him. Yeah, I was just hoping for some weird to the credit of the show, I mean, he's like a side character, but I really liked him. And then I was hoping for some weird, okay, well, it's in another universe though, maybe a paradox, and when they get back, they go back in time and then he's alive.
I mean the show manages to do that sort of stuff really well without it feeling forced. Because we get reintroduced to so many actors. Like, I remember saying, like, wow, it's so cool that they kill off the chief of defense for the ship or whatever her title is. And then she's obviously someone who's in the mirror universe. Same with Philippa, the emperor. Like, the way they're reintroduced is so great because it puts you in mind of, well, not all of the time, but often Joss Whedon does this well, where, you know, a character dies, but then there's actually a reason, or like the way they come back, there is a price paid, something like that. Like, it's not going to be just like we just reboot it. Sometimes he did it like that though, but most of the time he did it well, and Star Trek Discovery does it well because we're in this other universe, and it's not like, hey, great to see you, welcome back on the crew. It's more like, oh, you're the opposite of the person I knew, and it all feels like it should be cliche, but it works.
Yes. Yeah. Because even that, even like weirdly enough, I felt so dumb because it caught me by surprise that it was Philippa. And it's like, oh, obviously it's Philippa is the supreme dictator or whatever. Because I just kept waiting for it to be Michael Burnham in some weird way. It was going to be, and I was already like rolling my eyes like, okay, here we go. It's, you have to face your greatest enemy, yourself. and I completely didn't even think of the Philippa angle, and it's played really well. And yes, it works because, you know, you're this different, you're a different person, but you're still, you know, maybe there's a chance you're my Philippa and I can bring you back. And it's a way for me to save you and undo the wrongs I did. And, you know, it's all, I don't want to say obvious stuff, but it's, you know, it's stuff we've seen before, but it's played out in a really nice way. And again, because there's all this other stuff happening around it, it doesn't fail like you would think it would. If you maybe read it on paper, you'd be like, oh, of course, this is dumb. But the characters nail it so well. And I do understand that this has more of a grittier feel than prior Trek, from my understanding. But it builds to that place. It still builds to that hopeful place by the end.
Yeah. And there's not so much of like, I meet my counterpart and like, what do? We're going to fight. It's the only people who meet themselves. It's like Stamets, right? In the mycelial network, he meets himself. Yep. That part was a bit confusing because when he wakes up, Do they intentionally make you confused as to who wakes up in what body? Because I really thought they made a reveal there that he woke up, but he woke up in the other Stamets' body. That's what I thought happened. And I don't know if you got did you get that impression at all?
I didn't pick that up, but that's an interesting take.
Well, I obviously I was wrong. Like I'm not they like hit that on the head, but I thought it was shot in a way where that was like the intention because of him like, he's like, okay, I gotta wake up. He's like with Hugh or whatever, and he's like, open your eyes. And then we see Stamets opening his eyes, but it turns out he's in the Imperial ship. So I thought that was the thing of like, oh shit, he woke up in the other one's body, and now you have a traitor on the Discovery. And to be fair, maybe that would have been shitty. That doesn't sound like the greatest plot movement, but they managed to do great plots from stuff that doesn't sound great on paper. But yeah, they didn't do that. I was just actually confused about it, and it wasn't until Lorca is like threatening Imperial Stamets and he's like, no, he knows stuff that only he would know. So, and then because I thought that would be, you know, terrible obviously if evil Stamets is the one there, but no, that didn't happen.
Stamets is such a great character. It still is. I'm still kind of, it's like nerdy nitpicky crap, but if anything is gonna deserve nerdy nitpicky crap, it's like a Star Trek show. I'm still a little like weary on the fact that they didn't somehow jettison the idea of their, what's their warp drive that they have? They're like their special warp drive again.
Well, I guess the mycelial drive or whatever.
Because it's still kind of the spore drive. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Like even by the end of the show, it's still kind of a thing, but they're like, we need to put it away or something like that. Like we're going old school. So it's still that idea of like, so the spore drive has been kind of kicking in the background somewhere, although I'm sure there'll be some sort of thing to get rid of it eventually. But I know that's like a nitpick garbage, but what are you going to do?
I think that's fair. And I think there's a few moments like that where you're kind of like, oh, okay, I guess this happens. Like when they need to regrow the mycelial spores, so they bombard a planet with it. And it's kind of a moment where we don't get enough backstory that we just get to see characters talk at each other and then like, of course, genius, that's what we'll do. And I'm like, okay, that's what we'll do, I guess.
It's working. It's working. Yeah, of course. Okay, so we could just do that anytime.
Yeah, so that was because they're like, oh, it took years to do this. But if we shoot it at a planet, because I thought they were going to where they found the original sample and we were going to get something, you know, new about that. But no, it was like, I know just the moon to fucking bomb with this shit. And it worked. Surprise. But things were a little bit, I mean, to be fair, they had those two episodes at the end where they crammed in, you know, a second season finale. So things did get a little bit rushed, kind of at times.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the finale in a bit because, yeah, it does feel like things get rushed for that. Going back to the Mirror Universe, I thought that all the way that all played out was great, and especially seeing how it was taking its toll on our characters, or, you know, Michael Burnham specifically, like having to play this part up and be a part of this for as long as they have, and like how that's affecting you. And I like how they, like, now she's like lives in a dark, cool, like penthouse, apartment on the ship. And now she's fucking all the time. And the whole Vok Tyler thing is very reminiscent to me of, say, like Angel and Angelus a bit, to bring another Buffy reference.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's played much better than just, like you'd mentioned before, instead of just, no, that's Vok with a human suit on. It's kind of this weird dual mind, and you know, who's winning out, who has control. But again, like, to talk a little bit about the finale, it's just kind of in the end just kind of walked off a bit, like, all right, well, I'm gonna go, I'll see you later.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it already. The only thing that means is that I now realize that I actually dislike Ash Tyler more than Vok. Vok's kind of fine. He's got a goal and a purpose. Ash Tyler is just this whiny guy. And I don't know, like, I think there's such good acting going on all around in this show. And I don't necessarily think he's bad, but he's put in a position where he's not going to be likable to me ever, this character. I don't know what they're going to do, because in the last few episodes, they certainly didn't make him any more likable than he was before. I don't care about Ash Tyler. Shoot him into the sun, I say.
Oh, man, you're such a victim blamer. Ash Tyler is the best of us. He survived through things that we could never have imagined.
Shut up.
And he's still out there trying
to
do.
I like Ash Tyler. No one likes Ash Tyler.
Yeah. And another little weird nitpick. In episode 11, when they kind of meet the resistance, like, well, we meet the how, like, the Klingons are the good guys, kind of, end up with the Vulcans. And then they do, like, he does, like, a mind meld with Michael Burnham to see they're from another universe. But he doesn't do a mind meld to Ash Tyler to, like, unleash all the secrets. You know what I mean? Again, it's small bullshit, but still.
He does the mind meld, and then, like, Ash attacks. And, yeah, I guess that's... Wait,
like, Ash attacks Vok, basically. Yeah, because... No, yeah, we meet good Vok in this... And he attacks himself, basically.
I guess we did have that fight, didn't we? We just said we didn't have that, but we did have that. Yeah, and then they're like, obviously, these people are crazy. But then, no, her alternate dad is like, no, she's cool. It's cool. But then they all get blown up in the end anyway because she was too slow. So the Emperor shows up and blows them all up, I guess. So they all died. People are kind of really expendable in this universe, which is fine. It actually does work. But if they go to another universe in the next season and then start killing more versions of themselves, it's going to get thin. But it does work here because we're not in this universe forever, and it's not like people get rebooted. However, I will eat my hat if we don't see Lorca again, because he is dissolved into the spore central. So, like we've already seen with Hugh, that you can kind of stick around in there one way or another. So he's not gone.
Well, at the very least, there's always a chance for Prime Universe Lorca, right? Like,
yeah.
I know he's kind of assumed dead or whatever, but hey, we ain't seen a body yet. But of course, and yeah, to your point, Lorca went into the spore drive, which has all kinds of crazy magic behind it. The science. So you could definitely write it off as like, oh no, he was stuck in a mushroom and now he grew out of one and he's fucking Super Mario. But I mean, we haven't talked enough about Lorca. Lorca is so great. I really was kind of bummed when they got rid of him. But I mean, I understand he kind of becomes the big bad in a way. So you got to dispose of him in some form.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably would have been better off like a bullet in the head. But to add a little poetic justice to it, he's thrown into a spore drive.
Yeah, and he hates poetry. yeah. But the only thing that bummed me out about this was that, oh, all theories are just true now. Like, every theory is just right. And I kind of had a large gulp of that when we talked about Westworld. By the way, stay tuned for our Westworld coverage coming in April. But it was like we obviously Vok was a theory that was like, yeah, that's clearly true. And then like I think on the last episode you mentioned like, what do you think about him being from the Mirror Universe? And he did this intentionally. And I was like, fine, I guess, or like whatever. I don't know. It's getting so hard for me to judge what my reaction would be if I didn't know these things, which is such a contrast to our Sopranos discussions where I don't know shit about what's going on and everything's a surprise to me. But yeah, him being from the Mirror Universe, it's fine. It makes sense. They executed well. He does become a bit two-dimensional because he wasn't that two-dimensional in our world when he was actually like trying to do good. But then it's like he's trying to do good, but by kind of shady evil means. And then it's like, well, actually, he was trying to do evil all the time. So those evil means, they were just naturally part of him doing evil shit.
Yeah, I agree. It does take a bit of the wind out of the sails of the character when he has to. Now that he's back in his, mustache twirling universe, he has to twirl his figurative mustache and become full on evil. I guess there's still some elements where he, very much like Michael Burnham and Philippa and trying to bring this other universe, Philippa, to hers and have their same relationship. There's elements of that with him and Burnham, correct? Like, 'cause he's mentioning like the mirror universe, Burnham, they must have had some sort of thing going on, and he believes she's like her destiny, she's the best, or what have you.
Well, that's what Philippa said. That's what made Burnham realize what was going on because she was saying all these things that evil Lorca said about evil Burnham. And then she remembered, oh, wait, regular Lorca was saying that about me. And then, I mean, the light sensitivity thing is such a.
That canon, I was gonna ask. I guess neither of us will really know, huh? Like, is that an actual canon thing in previous Mirror Universe episodes of Trek that there was this different light sensitivity?
I don't know because it feels like everyone would have
No.
realized that immediately
Yeah.
then. And it that would, although that would make it like feel less, not necessarily cheap, but kind of like, oh yeah, I just needed, like, the whole point of that was to have this confirmation thing. And it's so convenient how she says it, of like, ah, yes, the sole difference between your universe and mine is that we're like this. I was like, oh shit, that thing that I've conveniently noticed and it's been super telegraphed to everyone forever. No one can miss this tw twist, can they? And it's like, if it was all constructed for that, it feels like, oh, okay, whatever. You
But yeah,
Googling it?
no,
Sensitivity. I'm
hopefully someone
Googling
will
it.
tell me. Yeah, see if you can find it. So yeah, we get the Lorca reveal. It's played out pretty nice, but yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, did they cheat on that, or is it actual a thing and maybe it wasn't supposed to be this big reveal? Who knows? And I like when it plays up the, because it's like we're in this mirror universe and everything's crazy and we're discovering new things. And then it adds another element because then we get back home and oh no, it's been 9 months. So it's almost like we're in another, even though it's our own universe, it's almost like we're in another universe because we have to catch up on everything we missed.
It feels
And
very sort of Quantum Leap, sort of like, or like Doctor Who, like jumping from you, like every new episode, it's a new thing, a new challenge, a new version of reality, a new conflicts and things, and that's kind of a great way they've done it so far, I think, because fucking the Klingon War, if we were gonna have another 10 episodes of fighting just Vok and his houses and everything. Like going to the Mirror Universe is so more exciting, and then we're excited to go back. And I mean, in the end, they do like throw in the Enterprise as well, so I don't know what that's gonna be about. Are we gonna have more time travel? Who knows? But they've done a good job of keeping it fresh.
well, yeah, and especially like, so you can have that moment where like Sarek and that Starfleet Admiral, what's her name, they can show up and kind of be fighting our characters, even though they're supposed to be friends, because it's like, who are you? We don't know if you're really Discovery. Discovery disappeared 9 months ago. 9 months, you say? It's been a mere a week for us. A lot of fun little back and forth they can go.
And they kind of get they kind of get two sides of it because usually a show like this would either be episodic or like do a season, and they've kind of gotten to do little mini seasons or little mini things of going off and having a different adventure, and then they all overlap. What were you gonna say?
Well, I was going to say, to your point, I was just going through my notes and what you were talking about when they made the spores again. All I wrote was they make spores in a half-assed way. So yeah, you're right. Oh, and you know what? I do want to call out, well, we haven't talked about Tilly enough. I didn't really like Tilly in the first half, but it's great when you take a mousy character and then have her have to play like this badass killer version of herself. And then you get to play around with that where she can learn a thing or two from her evil self. Maybe she should be a little bit more assertive in mm-hmm. certain cases and really go for that captain or commander job that she wants so bad. But I do have to call out what a cheese ball lame scene it was when Tyler goes to sit in the cafeteria.
Oh,
and no one sits with him. And then Tilly, like, I expected it to just be a thing where Tilly sits with him and then that's that. But they have to then do the extra, like, everyone's like, yeah, yeah, let's go sit with Tyler.
Here's the thing. I mean, I'm biased because I'm like, well, don't even throw him in the bridge. Throw him out the airlock. I don't care. But but with that said, with Saru, like, I get he's a new captain or an acting captain. He doesn't know what's what. But maybe don't let him walk around the ship, maybe? Like the fucking war criminal, maybe? Just a little... I mean, he puts a bracelet on him. It's like, oh, your thing will be restricted. You can't fucking order the nice ice cream in the food machine. It's like, okay. Like, he couldn't get that off. Like, any old Sonic screwdriver couldn't do the job. I think not. So it's just, yeah, he never should have let him walk around. Especially, just have some consideration for Burnham, who was like, oh, is that an order that I need to see him? I was like, no. I was like, well, you're gonna, because he's just walking around, so you'll see him. Don't worry.
Yeah, sorry. Deal with it. And yeah, they build this, you know, they build this very plausible scenario where the Klingons have been winning the war for the past 9 months. The Discovery has been gone, and there is very real danger that the Klingons are headed to what? Like Starbase One or Earth or what have you, and they're gonna, like, obliterate them and win the war. So then, yeah, they turn to Mirror Universe Philippa and make her, like, bring her as commander or what have you of the Discovery.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be a secret, but she's clearly from the Mirror Universe the way she's talking to the crew. And like, the crew, it's not like there's some new crew.
Yeah.
They were all in the Mirror Universe a week ago.
Yeah.
And this dead person's back and acting very much like she's from the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
Good.
No, yeah, Tilly sees it. I like the way Tilly reacted when she comes in, though, of like, oh my god, I heard so much about you, and then just immediately gets what's going on, and Tilly's the best. But yeah, things do get a bit rushed there, because it kind of makes sense. I mean, it does make sense, and it feels very satisfying. But it's kind of some big leaps. I don't know, I have more problems with the Tyler stuff, I guess, than... the ending. Do we want to talk about the actual ending?
Yeah, I mean, before we do, I do want to give a shout out to Klingon Dick that we see pissing in an alley. What kind of show would we be if we didn't bring up Klingon Dick pissing in an alley? That's what's great about this show being online, is we get to hear fuck on Star Trek. We get to see Klingon tits, and we get to see a Klingon dick spouting three piss holes. So shout outs to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's in the wretched hive of scum and villainy. It feels really Star Wars when they're hanging out in this this weird smoke den, and they're all off on their little, like, talking to different characters, and Tilly's the one who figures out there's an active volcano from breathing in the fumes and doing all the drugs. I love how she actually manages to act kind of badass when they're doing the weapons deal, but then obviously doesn't follow through on any of it.
A nice touch having Clint Howard be the guy with Tilly when she, like, breathes in the volcano or whatever, because he was, what, that little ugly baby or whatever in that TOS episode. He maybe was in other Star Trek as well, but I know he was a little ugly kid in one of them.
Okay, cool. But then they find out about the place where they need to go, and it turns out, no, it's a bomb in your little briefcase there, and evil Philippa is going to blow up the planet. And it's like, wasn't that the plan anyway? Like,
exactly.
Isn't that what... Yeah.
So I thought the plan was all along. Yeah. And I guess it's clearly supposed to mirror, it's clearly supposed to mirror the, you know, the pilot, where Michael Burnham's idea is Klingons only react to strength, so we have to show our power to defeat them. Except, you know, now Michael Burnham has a change of heart, but I don't fully buy I mean, I guess she was in the mirror universe, so she really did come to terms with like what it mean, what like who she is and what it means to be Starfleet and mm-hmm. have ideals and not fall into this darker do anything to win. I just don't buy this idea like that this other plan's gonna work.
Yeah, I guess the difference, like, they were planning to take out all the military targets or whatever, and then they were going to blow up the planet. So I see the difference. I had actually more of an issue with how the Lady Klingon, and I should know her name, I'm being sexist.
Laurel, I believe.
Laurel gets the thing that can blow up the planet, and it's like, I'm the queen now! Okay? Yeah. Everyone just kind of stops bombing the Earth because she could blow up their home planet.
Yes.
And that does, it's just that it doesn't feel like strength. Klingons are supposed to respond to strength, and it feels like anyone with an hydrogen bomb could just sneak in there and plant that there. And that, so it would almost be, I don't know, the speed at which she takes control of the Klingon army and unites them all, and we see the ships fly away from Earth. I didn't buy any of that because she's a terrorist, and that's not the same as having strength enough to become emperor. Just look at Philippa on the other side. She understood that they've seen my neck. They could never respect me as a leader, and she's like this outcast who has been thrown out. She doesn't have any respect. They all laugh at her, and just because she has a data pad, that's gonna let her end the war. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's what I mean, where it's like they kind of put their faith in this. And I mean, because it's a show, it just works. But I don't buy that the other people in Starfleet, I understand it's all about, like, this kind of does come down to, from an outsider's perspective, what true Trek is. It's supposed to be about, like, we don't sacrifice our ideals. You know, we have this other vision for the future and diplomacy over war and all that. So it does like tie into that. It doesn't feel true, in general. And plus just the way this world has played out, throughout this whole season.
Yes. And then Burnham's there and talking about how, oh, I've understood how our ideals are more important, and I do believe that for her. It's just that her solution was so convenient and non-realistic. It wasn't really what felt like a clever solution, unfortunately. But here's the thing. I already got my season finale 2 episodes previously, because that episode was fucking badass. What's past is prologue, when they're having the climax in the mirror universe, like, yeah. I'm already so on board that I don't mind that it kind of fizzles out a little bit there. And I like the way they set it up of like, oh no, Philippa's going to be there, but she's going to be like a rogue space pirate or whatever. And maybe we'll cross paths and we'll see how we've developed. And maybe I'll be more of a good guy, or maybe you'll have to hunt me down. Wink, wink. Well, who knows?
Yeah, I agree with that. It kind of ties in with what we're talking about, with some of the other storylines on paper, but just the fact that there's a lot going on, like they're kind of juggling a lot of drama, that it doesn't hurt it as much. Whereas if it was just about the war, if the whole thing was just the war with the Klingons and then this is the climax, you'd be like, oof, this is not very good. But since we've hit some other heights with some of the other storylines that seem just as important, you can kind of forgive it. From reading feedback, a lot of the classic Trek fans came out on a real big high, obviously, because it ends with the USS Enterprise. I mean, to me, that was kind of cool, but it didn't hit like some of the heights from what I saw the reactions online. People were really, it was a really smart fan servicey move, apparently, because people were very happy with how this works. Because, yeah, the Klingons do stand down. We get like a scene back on Earth and we decide what they're going to take the Discovery to go pick up their new captain. Is it captain or commander? I keep forgetting.
It's captain.
Okay. They're going to pick up their new captain on Vulcan, apparently. And
and we think the thing is going to be, who's going to be the new captain? That's going to be the big cool thing at the end of the episode. But no, it's like, here's the USS Enterprise, NCC 1701. I I said earlier that, oh, maybe there'll be time travel, but I guess I'm an idiot because the Enterprise just belongs in this time, I guess. I don't know the timeline very well, but yeah, we're in Enterprise times. We're like before the original series.
Yeah, right? I believe it's 10 years before, so that's why they mentioned Captain Pike.
That's why it's so weird that, you know, it's got that vibe of, oh yeah, of course the prequel Star Wars films happened before original Star Wars, and everything is so much more advanced, and lightsaber battles are completely different, and so on. Because, like, yeah, of course, the spore drive, we just locked it up after this.
Yes, yeah. And then, but I believe with Pike, is Spock still part of the crew? So we should see Spock then?
Yeah, I almost thought, I mean, who do we know on Vulcan? I mean, I guess he's in the Starfleet, so he's not on Vulcan, but it felt like, maybe it's Spock who's the new captain. Why not? Right.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I guess that would not make sense because he's like the number one in the original series or whatever, so he wouldn't be degraded back to that level, I suppose. I don't know. Starfleet.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, because there was that other thing where they kept mentioning that ship in the Mirror Universe, and from my understanding, that is like real canon, something to do with a different ship in the previous series that did disappear in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah, you got to assume that it is. And also, I mean, They even say, like, just a short note, that obviously Lorca is coming back, Prime Lorca, because what's her name, Katrina Cornwell, the Admiral, says, like, I gotta assume he died because, you know, a single Starfleet officer could never survive in the Terran world, so we just gotta assume he died. And that's kind of telegraphing that, no, of course, he's Lorca. He's Prime Lorca, but he's Lorca. He didn't die. He maybe becomes a new emperor or whatever, finds a way home.
Yeah, really.
But, hey, new bit. What was that? What's that sound? New bit. Can you hear that sound, Jim?
I kind of hear someone saying new bit.
Oh, no, I think it's the wind, but I think it's telling us it's time for something, maybe for a new bit.
New bit. I think new bit coming right up.
I'm shipping up to Boston.
Whoa.
I'm shipping up to Boston.
Whoa.
I'm shipping up to Boston.
Whoa.
I'm shipping up to find my wooden jail.
That's right. Welcome to Shipping Up to Boston, the part of the show where, bear with me, we're going to find our wooden gym, which means that we're going to figure out what ships really get Jim's going, and what does he think gets the internet going? Because, Jim, you're going to tell me what you think the top five ships are, not spaceships.
It really took me a long time, though. I mean, I know we make that joke,
yeah,
but it really took me a long time because I was really thinking, like, Discovery, Enterprise.
Okay.
I was like... But no, we're talking about relationships. And yes, for cool people in the know that watch TV shows and follow TV shows, we don't say relationships, we say ships.
Yes, especially when it comes to fan fiction, because this is about how many stories with these different relationships have been written already on the internet. And by the internet, I mean Archive of Our Own. No peeking, Jim. But Archive of Our Own has actually become the center. I didn't realize. I grew up where fanfiction.net was the place to be. But fanfiction.net has 115 Star Trek Discovery stories, and Archive of Our Own has 775 disco stories. So that's what we're basing our sample on. And basically how it works is you're going to tell me five ships that you think are in the top five. For each correctly guessed ship, you get 1 point. Then you're going to place them from 1 to 5, or 5 to 1, and for every correctly placed ship, you get another point.
Oh, I like this. Okay, I'm already going to throw one out. I already feel like Lorca Burnham is in the top five.
That's added to your list. That's very interesting.
Okay, so should I go through all five before you tell me if I'm hitting them or not?
Yeah, because if I say no, or wait, maybe that works.
I'll do all five. I'll do all five. Okay, so I'm going to go Lorca Burnham. I'm going to go Tilly Burnham. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Saru and Stamets.
Jim, okay. Jim, I want you to think carefully here, okay?
That's a goof one, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways. But no, I got to think of I need a gay one, though.
Yeah, what could
I guess,
be a gay
Well,
shit?
I guess it could be a real one. Yeah, Stamets and... what's his name? Hugh.
Yep.
Stamets and Hugh. And I guess I got one more. Think. What if I said again? Just read it back to me real quick.
Lorca and Burnham, Tilly and Burnham, Saru and Stamets, and Stamets and Hugh. Saru and Stamets. Yeah, no, of course.
We will go Burnham and Philippa.
All right. So, but here's how it's going to be, though. I think you need to order these before I tell you how you're doing, because otherwise...
You're right. Yeah. Well, I got to go. I'm thinking Lorca Burnham is number one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Tilly Burnham is number two.
Okay.
Shit. No, I got to change that. I'm going to go Lorca Burnham number one. I'm going to go Stamets and Hugh number two. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to go Tilly Burnham number three. And what were my other two?
Saru Stamets and Burnham Philippa.
Then Burnham Philippa, then Saru Stamets.
Yeah, okay. Okay, perfect. Now we're going to go through. And here's the thing. This is a live evolving genre where I checked earlier and the numbers are shifting as we speak. So this is like live. Ding, 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 ding. Check the bells. What's going up? What's going down? And I can tell you which ones you guessed that are on the top five. You got Burnham and Philippa. Correct. They are on there. They got that vibe. Let me see what the fuck. Okay. Well, Hugh and Stamets are on the top five.
Yes.
But then there's Mirror at. Nope. Sorry, man. Those are the only ones you picked that are correct. So you got 2 points.
I had to specify mirror versions as well.
No. Don't worry about that. I mean, they do specify mirror versions here, but...
Answer me this. Is Vok Burnham in top five? Or Tyler Burnham?
Yeah, it's in there.
I thought that was too obvious. I got too caught up in making up ones.
Yeah.
I forgot that there's clearly going to be a lot of the existing on the show.
Yeah.
Probably Morel Vok as well, I bet.
Here's the thing. You came up with good ships. I'd read these stories, especially Stamets Saru. But unfortunately, yeah, it's always going to shift a bit towards canon. You can keep this in mind for the next shipping up to Boston. But to tell you the actual top five, I need to double check this, though, because it does change, as I said. So I think Philippa's moved up. Yeah, Philippa literally, like, Philippa Burnham moved up from 5 to 3 from before to now. So I think their chemistry in the final two episodes are what sold it. Barely, like, a few people were writing it from just the pilot, but having her back and having that chemistry, that really got them up and sizzling, so they got up to third place, meaning that Mirror doesn't matter, but Lorca and Ash were actually number five.
Yikes. I'm surprised there's no Lorca Burnham in top five.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty fucked up, because they have that... They're even canon, but no, they're actually, they got just bumped out. They're on number 6 there with 42 stories.
So close.
But yeah, you're right. It's canon, and they have the chemistry. That tells us they don't have what it takes. Like, they don't have that spark. Like, obviously, they have the canon spark, but they don't have the internet spark to really bring it home for people.
What's number 5?
Number 5, well, that was Lorca and Ash.
Lorca and Right, you told me. Okay.
Number 4 is Michael Burnham and Ash. And then number 3 is Michael Burnham and Philippa.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be surprised by this one, but actually Admiral Katrina Cornwell and Gabriel Lorca is number 2 with 77 stories. Can you imagine?
Oh, because yeah, I guess because they have sex in the show.
They bang. Yeah, they bang, but I mean, so does Ash and
pretty boring. Yeah. Pretty boring fanfic.
And the number 1, you got it close, you put it at the number 2, but it's Hugh Culber and Paul Stamets, because we love Stamets, we love Hugh. You were heartbroken. Can you imagine what fanfiction writers were when they died, when he died? Because they have 251 stories with these characters, and number 2 has 77, so they're kind of in the lead.
They're running away with it. And are a lot of people... mad that they killed him, because it's the whole kill your gaze trope.
I would assume I don't have any confirmation on that, but I would assume so. However, it does open it up for, I mean, Stamets is clearly the star in that relationship, so he has all manner of possibilities moving forward. Maybe someone will topple that number one spot, perhaps. Saru, perhaps. But for now, Hugh and Paul Stamets is, get ready to play the outro, Hugh and Paul Stamets is what we call an unsinkable ship.
So this is the ship they say is unsinkable.
It is unsinkable.
That's right. That's from Titanic.
I was going to say, that was from Titanic, right?
Yep. Couldn't find a Star Trek related ship sink quote. But yes, that's thank you for playing. What do we call it? Shipping up to Boston.
Yep, shipping up to Boston and to find our unsinkable ship.
Exactly. That's what I said wooden gym. That makes a lot more sense though. Unsinkable ship.
Yeah, no, I like that. What a great new bit. I'm excited.
Yeah. Who knew we had bits? Anything else you want to say about Star Trek?
I would like to thank Star Trek Discovery for turning me into a full-blown Trekkie, and I'm very excited for the new season. I'd heard rumblings in the beginning that potentially this would have been like a more of a, what's it called? Can't think
piece
of it.
Shit.
No, where each season was going to be a different crew, but I can't imagine that's what they're going to do now.
No, of course. Of course not.
That will be a real piss in people's faces if they had the Enterprise show up at the end and then they're like, all right, different time period, new crew.
But I think that's how they have their...
That was the word I was looking for.
I think that's how they have their cake and eat it too, because they put them in the mirror universe and then they put them back and they get to explore different things. And I wouldn't be much surprised if they go into a fucking wormhole and end up who knows where. So they can actually do that. But who would, like, that's the thing with these anthologies, because everyone kind of likes it as an idea. Everyone's saying, you know, Stranger Things would have been better as an anthology, a lot of people think. But these fucking actors, man, these characters, I don't, like, that's what keeps people coming back. Sure, Star Trek, people will come because it's Star Trek. But people like you, Jim, you've come to know these characters, right? Like, you wouldn't like if it was totally different next time, I assume. I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I don't think I would. I'm in it with the Disco crew. I'm waiting to see more adventures. I'm excited for the potential, and I'm here for it.
Oh yeah, we're both here for it for sure. So that I guess does sum up our Star Trek thoughts. If you have thoughts, you can send them to showswhatyouknowshow@gmail.com or leave them in a comment. You can also leave a review on any of our many podcast feeds. Just search for Shows What You Know on your podcast app. And please do leave a review there and tell us what show you'd like us to check out. We have some on the backlog. We're going to get into the in-betweeners coming up next week, and of course more of The Sopranos. But that's it for now. Of course, also check out Jim and Them for jimandthem.com for Jim and Them, the podcast, and awesomepedia.org is where you find my stuff. Anything else, Jim?
I'll see you in the mirror universe.
What? Jim had a goatee all along.
Thanks, everybody.